Be the first to be notified of our latest streamings by subscribing to our YouTube channel, Word of Faith Ministries. Don't forget to like, comment, and share.
Word of Faith Ministries, establishing the kingdom of God and changing lives with the message of faith and the grace of Jesus Christ with a practical, biblical, and balanced teaching you can trust.
All right, let's pray, and I'm going to ask you to be in agreement with me. That's fine. Let's pray. Pray on focusing, in English, the utterance. Utterance to deliver the word. Hear it. And connect ourselves with what the Holy Spirit wants us to understand. The last session, we're in our study series for a couple of weeks now, God is my source. In this case, we're going to see that God is our source of truth. I'm going to speak the second part on when we were speaking Thursday, the danger of the false message of grace. Grace, as I said, grace, I'm not saying that grace is false, but the false message of grace that many are preaching, or the message of false grace. And I realized this. Exactly, I realized this in 2011. But due to the technology of today with social media, everything, that message has gone on, and doctrines that, which is why you have to pray and say, Lord, where am I gonna congregate? Who am I gonna listen to? And this is part of renewing our minds. And all of this comes because I told you a couple weeks ago. I told you that there are four ways of using the faith of Jesus that is in us. There are four ways. One of them is what? Is this. Receiving a revelation and understanding and of the grace of God. What is the unconditional love of God and the finished works of Christ Jesus? What is the next one? You have to believe that you receive those promises. Speak them over your life. Meditating on them. Think on them. Number three, entering into the rest of God. And believe me, it's never enough to repeat all of this. Right now, I can't repeat it. I have to continue. But eventually, we'll come back to it. Number four is continuing to renew our mind, our way of thinking. And this is something that we have to do. Now, if you maintain these four steps that I've given you, especially the last one, renewing your mind, you will never fall into heresies. Any of you right now, quickly, to not spend too much time on it, or if you perhaps you don't remember, write to our email. How many of you can say that I'm teaching something new? No, I'm not teaching anything new. Nothing new. It's the same that I've been speaking for years. Now, of course, sometimes, as time goes, well, perhaps we explain it better. We see things differently, and the Lord gives us new revelations. But practically, it's the same thing. It's the same. And this is not boasting. This is just by the grace of God. Why have I not fallen in those heresies? Because I know some that fell into those things. Why? Because I've done this. I've continued to renew my way of thinking with the Word of God. And you'll never stop doing it while you're in this fleshly body. Which is why we have to continually renew our way of thinking as to not fall in these things. Amen. Now go to Romans. I'm going to be seeing a lot of verses. As to establish what we're going to be speaking. So Romans 12, verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, notice the word, but be transformed. That word transform comes from the word in Greek, metamorpho. It sounds like metamorphosis, the word that we get. And that word, its definition is the last part, which is the one that I like the most, is a process by which a new being is developed. Where? here in your way of thinking, in your soul. We're not talking about the spirit man, because the spirit man is perfect. So we're talking about that way of thinking. And again, I could spend weeks on explaining this. But why is it that the average Christian behaves in a certain way? Why do they think like the world? Why is it that in this time that I'm speaking, perhaps some others will hear this months later or years later, or through television or radio or television. Perhaps they might not know what I'm talking about, but in this moment that this is being recorded and broadcast, why we're in election day or in election year, why is it that Christians politically go to one side? Because whatever they do, even when voting or supporting someone in this earth, it should be us, the believers, based on who we are in Christ. Amen. Always. Always. Why do so many Christians, why do they still live with fear, fear, disagreement, screaming, yelling, cursing at home? Why? Because they don't change their way of thinking. They're a new being in the spirit, but they haven't taken the time or they haven't made an effort in changing their way of thinking with the Word of God. Now notice, verse 12. Now help me with the New Living Translation. Do not copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you in where? In your mind, in your way of thinking. In your mind, your will and emotions. In renewing your way of thinking by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasant and perfect. One of the things that I like, and again, this isn't just to be speaking highly or anything, but it's just another example of the Word of God. Perhaps I'm going to make them uncomfortable, especially for those who are in authority here in Cochise County. But about 4 years ago, perhaps, I stopped going to the fair here in the county, in the Cochise County. Because that atmosphere, it wasn't the same as years ago. And my kids kept going because, oh, I want to go to the carnival. So my mom can take us. That's fine, I never prohibited anything. Well, now, for what, about 2 years now, that they themselves said they don't want to go now. I don't want to go anymore. I said, well, what's up with that? No, glory to God. And they said, it's because the atmosphere isn't the same as before that. I had never prohibited anything since I stopped going, but it's not the same atmosphere as before. The teenage girls are almost naked at that point, doing things there with their boyfriends. It's all trash. But we just saw there. We just saw a verse there, and I can assure you that some of you quickly got uncomfortable because you forgot what you just read. Put it again, please. New Living Translation. But brother, don't be so sentimental. No, it's because I understand these things. Okay, please, the verse where we're at. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. I'm not talking about your spirit. There are Christians who can be born again, and you see their way of being and their behavior, and you think, hey, well, isn't that guy a Christian? And it's true. The confusion in some of you here who have spent years here and listening to the same thing, it's surprising. And the confusion of other people that watch me, especially through television and radio, they're confused that a couple services ago I said, God loves you independently of your actions. Remember I said that? And it's true. But before continuing, how many of you have a quarter? How many of you have a quarter? Or perhaps a Mexican peso or something that's big. I'm not speaking, perhaps a peso, it's a little too small, but perhaps a big coin. Anyone, just bills? Just big bills? I'll give it back to you. There we go. Thank you. Something like this. But you can sign your pastor. I'm kidding. Now, How many sides did this coin have? 10 Mexican pesos and a quarter. How many sides? Two. Now there's something called a face. Heads and tails. If I were to grab a grinder. What the grinder is, right? And I start sanding and sanding. And I remove perhaps one side of it. Can I pay with that coin? No. Legally speaking, I can't. Why? Because it's incomplete. It's incomplete. That's the word. It's incomplete. You can't use it. Because it's incomplete. Thank you. It's incomplete. Well, what I'm showing you here by the grace of God, it's just because it's my pact between my Lord, my Savior, my Jesus, and with the people, is teaching a full message. Not an incomplete, but a full one. A complete one. And we'll enter into some other things that, again, I'll shake some of you that are listening without a word I'm going to say. But remember, change your way of thinking. Colossians 1. It's surprising because you can say something with the Bible and then later see something else and you forget what you just read in the Bible. Colossians 1, verse 9. The Apostle Paul speaking here to the brothers and sisters in Colossians. They're in Asia Minor. Now, for this reason, we also, verse 9, says the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Notice, we do not cease to pray for you that you may be filled with the knowledge, that you may be filled. You're constantly being filled. Constantly. You have to constantly be filled of that knowledge. Constantly. It's a process that while you live in this earth, amen, we'll have to do it. Verse 10, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Now, help me, Father. Jude, chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. None of you can say, oh, well, it only has one chapter. I know, but you're not the only one. Many of you are here, just a minimum part of those who we reach. And there are people who don't understand that yet. Jude 1. See where that spirit of a Pharisee, it only has one chapter. I know. Jude 1, verse 3 and 4. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. Now, what do you understand by concerning? Perhaps fighting? Because some of you might get with that idea of fighting. Now, New Living Translation. Dear friends, I have... friends? Okay, well, we're going to start. You see, this is why some of these translations are... You got to read them very carefully. I've been eagerly planning to write to you about the salvation we all share. But now I find that I must write about something else, urging you to defend the faith that God has entrusted once for all to His holy people. To defend what? The faith that God has entrusted. Now, New International Version. Dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt compelled to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to God's holy people. You fight, contend. Okay, so what does that all mean? It means that we have to physically fight with our fists with other brothers in Christ? No. Does it mean that we have to fight with words or cursing? No. What it's saying contending in faith or fight for the faith is speak. Speak to teach with the word of God. Amen. Why? Verse 4 tells you why. For certain men, glory to God. Am I going too fast? Am I going too fast? Be honest. Am I good? Okay. Sweet lips, remember. Sweet lips. My wife tells me very quickly, amen. Oh. Now, verse 4. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men, who turned the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. They convert what? Into lewdness or licentiousness. One thing is liberty. One thing is licentiousness. In English, some say licentiousness, debauchery. This word is also not very commonly used. But let me see. Now, what is that word? There's a difference between liberty and debauchery. Now, that word from the Greek means this. Excessiveness. Lasciviousness, unbridled lust, unbridled excess. Well, there are Christians, as I said, by the millions at this point in this world, who use the truth of the liberty in Christ and the grace to live in libertinage and live however they want and act like the world acts. And then they say, doesn't matter, we're under grace. Well, yeah, it does matter. I'll tell you why it matters. Let's go to the Bible. Romans 6, are you all good? Now, before going to Romans 6, I want you to listen to what I'm going to say, which will help you for those who like to take notes. Grace, God gave it to us to enjoy it and not to abuse it. God gave us grace to enjoy it and not to abuse it. And there are many preachers nowadays who have literally multiplied. They have multiplied in a tremendous amount. The internet teaching some very light messages where they say, it doesn't matter how you live, God loves you the same. But wait. God loves you the same, yes. But what they don't tell you is like the coin, the other side of the coin. There are consequences. Say, for example, it doesn't matter. God isn't mad with you. Some of you might think, oh, well, you have told us the same. Yes, but I've told you. I've explained to you and I've clarified what that means. Just because God doesn't, saying that God isn't mad with you is like this. If they were behaving bad, like perhaps your son or your daughter or something like that, if we were to get mad like in the flesh, if God were to get mad in the flesh, like, oh, don't tell me anything, I'm mad at you. Well, no, God doesn't get like that. But I can assure you that God isn't also jumping for joy in heaven. You know why? Because he loves you so much and he sees that sin will destroy you. Look in Romans chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And then the answer is in verse 2, certainly not. Why? How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us that were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? This word baptized doesn't mean baptism in water. It's not talking about that. It's talking about that we were inserted or grafted in English grafted into the body of Christ. So this is talking about that our nature changed. So if our nature has changed, why is there supposed Christians that you see how they speak and act, how they behave? And they say, oh, well, that doesn't matter. I've seen Christians say that and preachers say that. Oh, well. And some of them have almost blamed me as well. Oh, well, don't. Don't be so exaggerated. Doesn't matter how you live, the grace will cover you. Well, not necessarily. Do what the Bible says. Verse 4. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism, again, being grafted into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. And then verse 5 uses another word. For if we have been united or sown into together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. What is this referring to? Now let's go to Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2 from 1 to 6. And I'll tell you something that it will be a shock for some of you. And you have been alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, or as the way of the devil, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Now, leave that verse there on the screen and look here. We have been baptized with Christ. We were baptized in death, as to say, the inner man, the old man, the human spirit, not born again, died, and now our human spirit is one with Christ. So when I hear and see Christians who live very loosely, this is going to be a shock for some of you, because many Christians don't believe it this way to the point where they get offended. Most assuredly, it's that you've never been born again, because they assume that they are Christians, that they've been born again, because their parents go to church, and because they went to church as children, and they were in the group with the kids and then with the youth group. It's very probable that they were never born again. Do you not prefer to hear the truth right now, that these people hear the truth, that they can have an encounter with Jesus? Because many of them say, oh, then why do I have to be born again if I was already born again? Because what verse 2 is telling you, look at verse 2 again, to understand what Apostle Paul himself said in Ephesians under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He also wrote Romans, in which you once walked in another time. But if there are Christians who are in the same thing, verse 1 now. And you he made alive where you were once dead in trespasses and sins. Verse 2. And once you once walked in another time. But if they're continue in dead trespasses and sins with their lifestyle. Imagine a puppy or a dog. Perhaps you have a puppy at home. But then suddenly you see that dog. It starts digging in the mud with his snout, and then you see that he doesn't start barking, he starts oinking. Tell me if you're not gonna have some doubt and perhaps scratch your head, because you're gonna say, "Oh, he looks like a dog, but he acts like a pig." Am I right? So you're gonna scratch your head. You're going to say, but I see him, he looks like a dog. So sometimes we can see Christians, we say, well, they look like a Christian. The point where you see him raising his hands at church. Well, he even arrives earlier than the other Christians. Really? God, he acts different sight. Very strange. It could be that he was never born again. That's one. The other. But it catches my attention when I see Christians who have spent years like that. They started in adolescence in the things of God, and then they're almost 40 years old, or more than 40, or they're past 30, but they continue with one foot in the world. Those are the ones who catch. I say, well, perhaps they truly weren't born again. Probably that they're not children of God. And they believe that they are. And the other is that they're people who are too, but just way, way too carnal, way too guided by their five senses. But even then, the consequences are going to come. Now, go to verse 6, Romans 6, 14. Now, suppose some of you want to perhaps silence your conscience, where you say, no, it's because I was born again, but yeah, just way too carnal. Romans 6, 14, 15, and 16. It was throwing an eye at me like, remember, sweet lips. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For you are not under law, but under grace. Now, clarifying, what then? What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? What does it say? Certainly not. So, brothers and sisters, why? Why did Paul mention in verse 1, in a form of, because he's asking, as in what? In verse 1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And then he answers in verse 2, certainly not. So why does he ask again in 15? What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? Certainly not. Why does he make these questions? The reason is that Apostle Paul was accused, the same as I've been accused, that we should not teach grace. And that at the fault of that teaching, many will go to libertinage. But Paul changed. No, he didn't. He continued preaching the truth because Apostle Paul taught you, as we saw the example, both sides of the coin. Brother Hughes teaches you both sides of the coin. Amen. But there it is right there. I don't assimilate myself to Apostle Paul, which is why I said Brother Hughes. I didn't even mention myself as any in any point of ministry. I just example as Apostle Paul. Now we'll see the consequences of this in 15. Certainly not 16. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves who you obey? Whether of sin leading in death, or of obedience leading to righteousness? Again, whether of sin leading to death, it'll lead you to die. It'll destroy your family. Sin will destroy your children. Sin will destroy your finances. It'll destroy your businesses. Everything that you do. If you are those Christians who use the grace of God as an excuse to live like people of the world. Someone say amen, a head nod, something. It's because it's true. Because you're going to give place to the devil. Another thing that will happen is you'll harden your heart towards God. Hebrews 13, good thing that I came. Because there's a lot of teaching. A lot of false teaching. And the Holy Spirit also prophesied through Apostle Paul that we would be in these times. There's a lot of false teaching on the internet. And a lot of libertinage, of Christian libertinage. And we'll see it right now. Glory to God. So, my apologies, Hebrews 3, verse 12. Are we all good? Verse 12. Notice how he didn't say Notice how this verse didn't say friends. It's brothers. Brothers and sisters in Christ. That's what we are. Never be ashamed of saying that. Never be ashamed of saying God bless you. Whereas we sometimes greet another way because we want to be inclusive like the world. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Well, what happened here? Why did this heart of unbelief come? To be separated from living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened to the deceitfulness of sin. The reason why we see and can see in the whole body of Christ, in many churches, people being departed from the truth because they harden their heart. Sin will bring death, from, call it death to your business, death to your finances, physical death. Amen. And the other area is it'll harden your heart towards God. In other words, but it hardening your heart towards God, let's explain it so you can understand it in a more practical way. Is you will no longer see God as God sees you. You create a sin conscious. And you'll be more conscious of sin in you than of the grace of God in you. The problem is not God towards you. The problem is sin. The problem now is it's not God towards you, but you towards God due to sin. You want a conscience of who you are in Christ. But there's a saying, perhaps I don't know if it's around the whole world, but at least here in Sonora, cannot whistle and eat John 3:16. You cannot want to go into a pool and come out dry. So that sin will undoubtedly apart you from God. It will harden your heart towards things of God. Undoubtedly. And you're at the mercy of the devil. Then my pastor in Ohio says, the worst that the people who are deceived are, is that they don't know that they're deceived. So those people who give so much place to the devil in their life, perhaps they'll hear me or someone else or someone of you say, God loves you, God is with you. But their life is terrible. And then they'll say, well, how can God love me? If God loved me and if God weren't mad with me, I things would be better. The problem is not God, the problem is you and the devil in them, working in their lives. Again, verse 14, for we have become partakers of Christ. Right there, it's giving you the solution. Brother Hughes, you're condemning me. No. Right here, I'm reading you the solution. For we have become partakers of Christ. Where? In your spirit. If we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said, today you will hear his voice. Do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Oh, but there are millions here on this Sunday around the whole world that the ministers of praise and worship, some of them Friday and Saturday, they went to go play at a worldly event or perhaps at a ball or something like that. And then Sunday they come and they'll say, no, well, it's fine because we were under grace. No, it's wrong. Grace in you will make you honor God. Amen. It'll make you respect God. It will make you love the things of God more. Hallelujah. Today and this morning, those who have come in the midweek services, there is not a week in which I don't receive an email of perhaps a pastor where someone did something, and many of them is sexual sin. In the morning, a pastor in Dallas 73 years old, 40 years preaching and pastoring his church. But if I told you the doctrine of this church, it's a Calvinist message. Calvinist doctrine. What's that Calvinist doctrine? It's saved and saved forever. You're under the grace of God, doesn't matter. And if you hear them speak, they're very strong in the... But in my perspective, it's a false... Many points. Guess what? He had to resign. He had to leave the pastors. Leaders were in charge of that church because he confessed that he had an ungodly relationship with another woman. 73 years old. I'm 49 and I lazy in trying to get another woman. Starting from the top, this man's so annoying. And these people are throwing away their life, their relationship, their testimony. Amen. Just because, you know, they want to be with their things, doing their things there. Guard it correctly under that belt. Put it away. Alan got the revelation a couple seconds later. I don't know. These people just... You know what happens? I think, and some of them... I apologize. I'm not casting judgment on anyone. I'm not mentioning names. But there are many. Some of them pastor mega churches. They pay them some super salaries where, yeah, I agree with that. They don't have to be fattening up pigs and sheep and wrestling cattle. You know how many of you understand? They have amazing salaries. They live comfortably. And it's fine. I'm not against that. But why not honor it? And why not guard it? Guard your dignity and be thankful with God. Wow, it's so tremendous. I mean, almost weekly, doesn't miss. Almost in 2 to 3 days a week, in 2 or 3 days of the week, I'll learn about someone. And you know what we're doing? We're damaging the name of Jesus before the world. And the people have hardened their hearts a lot towards the things of God. Right now, I'm judging what was done, not these people. I didn't call them by name. But it's wrong. I mean, you understand. Glory to God. Which is why it's so important. Here comes, which I'm going to say again. Inside of what I'm saying, some of you who are listening, perhaps it'll fall as a shock towards you. You didn't see it this way. But I'm going to give Bible. Not what's used. Because many things that are used, God does not agree with what's being used. God does not change. But which is why it's so important between many things that we do. It's what church this believer go to. Who is your pastor? Who are your pastors? And what church are they going to? There's a lot to do. I'm going to start hurrying up. I want to give you 3 reasons as to why my pastor who is in heaven and another who is also in heaven, who is Fred Price, taught me. And biblically speaking, it's right there in the Bible. 3 reasons. 3 reasons as to the importance of our local churches. Not just people who see you every once in a while through the internet. I'm talking about someone who you're connected with spiritually. 3 important. The first reason, again. Some of you don't do it. Here in this church. Hey, do you want me to tell you the truth or a lie? Not everyone, but some of you, who I'm going to refer to. The first reason is to praise God, give glory and honor to God together in that anointing. God sees the corporal anointing. It's very important for the Lord. Praising God. Some of you arrive late. Some of you arrive after praise and worship. You think that you've done your part with, oh, well, as long as I arrive for the communion. If it is that you come on Sunday. And then, well, as long as I arrive at the word. You have to sow in God as well. praise and worship. It's not the song that you like. It's because some songs I don't like. Well, they're not for you. It's true that there are some songs who we like more than others. It's true. But at the end of the day, the song should be directed towards God. Hallelujah. I remember in traditional churches where they'd go up and ask for coritos. And brothers and sisters, a 43 of doubt, it's what ministered to them. And it's the ones that were filled the most with doubt. Not all of them, God bless them. They're my brothers and sisters in Christ. Trust me, I don't hate any one of them. And many of them, I have a great, infinite compassion for them. Believe me when I see people who are that deceived. Now go to Hebrews 13. Verse 15, my God, forgive me. Hebrews 13. Now, the three reasons, I'll give you the first one. It's praising God in an atmosphere, in a congregational atmosphere. In that anointing, praising God. It's important to God. God sees that greatly in praising in the congregation. Now, of course, I'm not talking about that we shouldn't praise and worship at home. We shouldn't have Christian music in our car, and that's important. But that corporal anointing, God sees it greatly. He sees it very important. But nowadays it's, I didn't go. They can send me the link, Brother Hughes. And God forbid if you tell them no. Hey, but I'm faithful. I'm a giver. And some of them have some spaceships for our car. They could almost fly from their home to church. But no, send me the link. I'm here. I'm much more comfortable here. Because here, I don't know how to say it, but I can be, however you call it, in sandals. Could be in sandals and a robe. Glory to God. Alex? With more enthusiasm. Thank you. Hebrews 13. My God. Verse 15. I got a little condemned about our brothers and sisters. About the seminars. Again, I don't want to offend anyone. That's not my point. But if I say something, my conscience rebukes me. It wasn't right. Or perhaps I should have said it differently. Hebrews 13, verse 15. Therefore, by him, let us continuously offer the sacrifice through him, by Jesus, sacrifice of praise to God. It's called the sacrifice. It'll cost you to arrive early to praise and worship. Thank you. The sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. One of the things about false grace is silent. Oh, well, let's start praying, and some of them are talking. Or asleep. Well, you've told us that God loves you the same. Yeah, God loves you the same. But that prejudice is for you yourself. Both sides of the coin, remember? I like the other side that you spoke weeks ago. Sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. The fruit of our lips. Psalms 21, verse 3. Hallelujah. Psalms 22, verse 3. But you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in you. They cried to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not ashamed. We are his people. Thank you, Lord. Psalms 96. What is the first reason? The first reason of a good local church, or the purpose. Let's see the purpose. Our local church nowadays, because false grace tells you, it doesn't matter if you're missing service. It doesn't matter. Hey, well, let me tell you something that I've heard a lot in this time, and it prophet Isaiah talked about it, that now would be the days in which the good, they'd call it evil. They haven't told you, oh, it's too much church. Too much church. Amen. And to the good, they call it evil. And we want to please the world. Nuvi, did you tell them about Celia? No. Okay. Yesterday, Nuvi and I were in Tucson seeing a friend of mine named Celia. We are friends since we were 12 years old. We were in school together. And Nuvia knew her. They had only spoken through the phone and messages. And Celia sees us. So we went and visited her. And, you know, again, she was telling me that she came from her work with her friends from work. And, you know, they just started talking. Her friends, her co-workers, about how one of her children is a man, but he's transitioning into a woman. And another one, I don't know, everything that's perverse. And she said, well, without thinking, she's out of the abundance of the heart. She said, oh, well, good. Well, now all the perverse, what's against God, that is being promoted. And she said that there was this giant silence. And they tell her, oh, it's just the religious one, the crazy one. Everything that's perverted. My brothers and sisters, they're the strange ones, not you. You don't feel strange by defending the truth. Be cautious, of course. Be loving. Now, don't go all smacking them or whipping them, but don't be ashamed. Some of you are thinking, don't. You're thinking like you, right? How you sometimes do it. But you know, they're the ones that should feel strange. Because their conscience rebukes them. This administration of Mr. Biden should feel terrible and ashamed for using money of our taxpayers to pay for surgeries for people who want to transition. That Juanita wants to be Juanita. Well, let them pay for it. Someone say amen. Please come on Tuesday, okay? And here it comes. Now, I'm preaching the truth here, and it's because I love people. This type of life will destroy you. And many of the false grace are preaching universalism. For those who can understand that everyone is saved by Christ. Everyone. Everyone is saved. Believe or not, receive or not, everyone is saved. And some of them say, hell doesn't even exist. And others have the gall to say, the devil will be saved. But you hear them and they speak very nice about grace, and they first attract you. Yeah, you, and there you go. like like a bear after honey. You fall into that trap very quickly. And then some have the gall to say, well, they speak grace like my pastor. Hey, hold on. In this case, neither do you. No. Psalms 96. Okay, well, I'll leave it for later. Forgive me, Lord. Psalms 96, verse 1. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless His name. Proclaim the good news of His salvation from day to day. Proclaim His glory among the nations. Hallelujah. Go to verse 6. Honor and majesty are before Him. Look at verse 4. Go back a little bit. For the Lord is great and greatly, hallelujah, greatly to be praised. And greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. Any pagan, false devil, false demon that is being promoted right now, false doctrines are gods. Amen. Because people start praising it. Men and women start praising doctrines. Artists. Boom. Boom, boom. And in some instances, the Bible relates God with people in authority, which is why I said it in that way. Verse 5. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Verse 6. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. That word praise is also translated to honor. When we praise in congregation, we are giving honor. Hallelujah. King James, please. There we go. Honor and majesty. The old King James translated it tremendously. Very faithful to the Hebrew and Greek. Honor and majesty. No, praise and worship is not for talking between one another. It's not to be greeting, saying, "Oh, I arrived late because I realized that my friend, she said that she was going to take the money of the weekend from our cantina." Actually, you know what? Don't even greet them. I'll greet them at the end. Amen. Give to the Lord, O families of the people. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due to his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Good. Psalms 100. Man, I won't have the time now. But I'm going to tell you the truth with this. I'm going to break in these days. Just centuries of traditions of man with the Bible. Psalms 101-4. Make a joyful shout to the Lord. All your hands, serve the Lord with gladness. Verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Come before his presence with singing. When we congregate and come together and arrive to praise God, not everyone all rushing like, oh, they come through the door. So, I hope the crazy pastor doesn't see me. He's going to scold me right now. Oh, it's so hot. God loves me the same. Again, it's for your own prejudice. Verse what? Hallelujah. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us and not we ourselves. If you recognize that, man, I'm going to say glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm going to praise God with my brothers and sisters and give glory to the Lord. I didn't say praise my brothers and sisters. I said praise the Lord with my brothers and sisters. Now 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. And his courts with praise. The point that we enter into that door, we already have an attitude and focused on praising God. Hallelujah. Reason number 2 that I was taught by my mentors. To be discipled. That's something that there is a lot of entertainment. Kind words. And again, religion will say that as well. It's, well, so much Christian libertinage as spirit of Pharisee and religion. They're all religions. What's the characteristics of a religion? The characteristic of a religion, one of them, is that you become bound again. And the other that I told you is that man seeking to have a relationship with God, by their way, ignoring the scriptures. Haven't you heard pastors who say, "Well, brothers, I don't know what to speak on. I was praying, though. God didn't speak." And then suddenly, and then late, brother put in doubt because he preached very nice and he screams a lot. Oh, brother, miss, bring in doubt. Come here to preach us about the word. Because a pastor would say, oh, well, I was praying all night and God didn't say anything to me. And you have a book full of it, full of word. They don't study. Everything about what did so-and-so say on the internet, what did this one say? And they don't seek. Matthew 28. It'll continue with Job. Matthew 28, verse 18 and 19. But you know what? Why am I saying this? Because God is my source, and God is your source of understanding. God is your source of wisdom. God is your source of a true doctrine. And never, never, never will you fall. There are two things that you always have to have with you, and this is the correct order. First, the Word of God, the written Word. And second, the Holy Spirit. I come from religion where everything was only Holy Spirit and there was no Word. And when I started having a relationship with the Holy Spirit and started knowing Him and started knowing Him through the Word and praying, the Lord told me many times I was blamed because I said this and I said that and it wasn't me. And my mentors taught me very, very correctly. If something doesn't give you testimony in here and you can't see it over here, forget about it. Matthew 28. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore. Notice how the authority was given to us who are now here in this earth. Jesus was about to leave the earth as he was speaking this. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. Nations means people. Verse 20, teaching them. What does a disciple do? He is taught. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even in the end of the age. Mark 16, teaching. It's very good. What I'm going to tell you is very good. Mark 16, verse 15. We'll see how Mark said the Lord's words before departing. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. They read this and they think, oh man, to Africa as well. No, out there. Right here, right on the sidewalk. That's the world. He who believes and is baptized with and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized with them. But he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, will not by means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Well, some Christians, including some of you, will say, well, in your work, oh, well, you know what? I'm going to tell my pastor to come and pray for you. No, you pray. The only thing that the pastor should do, and that's in the according to the Bible, is preach for years. Many times I went to this pastor, and I preached this to them, and it worked for them. They heard this, and it worked for them. All a pastor should do is you bring them, you multiply, you pray for them. I mean, and then you pray for them. I didn't say that I don't pray. I pray for people, and I can't pray for you. But what I'm saying is you pray for them. You are a witness. But you can't be a witness drinking beer just like them. Smoking just like them. Speaking the same words. Cursing like them. The same blasphemous, double meaning sexual words and jokes. You can't be a witness to them. That. And you know what happens? You know why we don't do it? Speaking in general now as the body of Christ. And again. Another one. Some who know me get more disappointed with me, but Oh, man. Because I have friends who are dedicated to doing what I'm going to say, or those who I know. Galatians 1, verse 10. And believe me, I'm in love, and someone who will tell you, be careful what you say is me. Perhaps you could say, well, apply to yourself, Pastor, but Galatians 1, verse 10, before continuing. Or do I not pursue men or God? Or they seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. Help me to explain this. I know some of you are saying, oh, just say it as how it is. No, no, no. You also have to be wise with what you're going to say. Because this is to teach and bring correction. Do you know why churches, or the church in general, we don't do that? Because you know who we're very trusting in ourselves? Just in the evangelical campaigns, that the evangelists will do that. And again, I won't have time. Why do I always have to say things and then finish the service? Let a bomb drop and then leave it there. The church originally in the book of Acts didn't grow through evangelical campaign. It's say Philip, the Apostle Paul, but it wasn't just that. When Jesus said, go and preach the world to the nations, talking about your work and those around you, because again, those disciples were growing and the church was growing, because while the pastor was preaching, the new converted ones, if they didn't understand something, if you came two or three, you would explain, hey, look, the Bible says this and that. You don't just come with your arms crossed. No, you come to make a disciple. You don't just come to see the verses on screen. You study and you become a disciple. Come and teach them here and show them, look, it's right here. But there are people, how many of you know who Billy Graham was? Billy Graham said, someone asked him in the last years of his life, like, what would you do new if you had to start again? He said two things. One of them, if I were to start again, I wouldn't be going so much to the politicians in the White House, and you couldn't mention Jesus because you had to be with other leaders who were perhaps Muslims or something like that. And the other was, I spent too much time on evangelical campaigns. Because again, if you're in an evangelical campaign, the majority are Christians who are Christians. That's fine, because they have to help the man of God. Pastors, full-on churches have to come together. It could come to a point where, depending on the size, 20 churches could come and support the pastor, which is fine. But what I'm trying to say is the body of Christ has only trusted in that. Oh, let the evangelists do that. But when he said this, he didn't tell any evangelist. He said everyone. And why don't you do it as well? But don't try to squeeze me more than what I do already. Mine is to teach the word. Mine is to disciple you. Your job is for you to multiply. You know what? I feed my cattle. I feed my sheep. Feed them correctly, the males and the females, and they themselves have children. Right now, to the part where I'm running short on children, actually. People have asked me, and I don't have any more. I have so many I have sold. Thank the Lord. But no, we're not going to give testimony. Because, well, you want to go preach to your friend, but you curse just as much as them. Cursing just like them, because we're under a grace. That's a stupidity. Go to Acts. Chapter 1, verse 8. The church and the majority of the body of Christ live through fallacies. Attention with what I'm going to say. I'm not talking about lifestyles. You know what I'm saying? I said, I'm not talking about styles. Because there are people who are genuine. They have that style, but not everyone. For example, a fallacy between the preacher, man or woman, between the more that they scream, the more anointed they are. Oh, it was so anointed, the preacher or the evangelist that you brought. So anointed. And what did you learn? Nothing but it. Man, it was so anointed. A fallacy. Acts 1:2 or 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Can't be witnesses even here in Douglas. Do you want the truth or do you want lies? It's the truth. It's the truth. Acts 1:26. Why won't he finish already? Acts 11:26. He said, and when they had found him, he brought them to Anchorage. It was that whole year that he assembled with the church and taught, not entertained. And great many people and disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. He said, disciples. A person who matures. Another fallacy in the body of Christ. Lies. Well, brothers and sisters, let's give the place to the anointed of God. Very few understand graces, callings, anointings, assignments. You think that it's all just being behind a pulpit? What about the other professions? What about doctors, agriculturists, lawyers, cattlemen? God can't use them in their area of work to reach people and bring them to their churches and mature them and help mature them with their pastor, as to say, the pastor with them, help disciple them, those new ones. A fallacy in the church. Lies and plays. Too much church? Well, if you go to church too much, you're crazy? For some of them, you're retarded, a fanatic, religious. But if they see you doing drugs or drinking or over here in the mountains or I don't know where else. Oh, look, oh, how nice. But if they see you because you go to church, they call you a fanatic and you yourself get scared. You say, oh, yes, amen. No, they're the ones that should be ashamed. Wasting time on things that they don't even see, seeing that their kids are going to hell. Sorry for those who don't believe in hell anymore. Yeah, God receives everyone. Good, bad, those who behave bad. God will receive you always. But the benefit, you won't receive it all the time. Oh, it's because church, Brother Hughes, and where's the faith that you've been using? Change circumstances. 14. Are many Christians scared? Pastors scared right now. Cowardice. It's true that outside it's very ugly. But you know what? This is individuals. You say, my house and I are going to serve the Lord. Glory to God. We will plant or start praying. I said, truly start praying that He will plant you in a good church and submit yourself. And learn and receive. And when you don't understand, pray and pray in tongues. And say, help me to understand my pastor. Glory to God. Acts 14. Because the pastor is going to speak. I'm talking about a good pastor that fears God, that submits to God. It's Jesus speaking to him. And Jesus speaks to you through him. So if you don't understand him, you have to go to Jesus, your Lord, and say, oh, I'm not understanding something, Lord. Decipher to me. Make me see the same that you make my pastor see, so that I can also see it. 14, verse 21. And when they had preached the gospel to that city, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them. Look at King James. Look at King James. Confirming the souls of the disciples. Confirming. The souls. Renewing. What are we talking about? Renewing your soul. Your mind. Exhorting them to continue in the faith and saying, we must through many tribulations. Apostle Paul said it here. It's not preached. Grace had already started here. The time of grace had started here. We must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. While you're here on this earth, tribulations will come. Problems will come. The devil will bombard you of false information, false doctrines. Cold spiritually. And you don't know what? My idea, what I'm believing God for, is that when this hair is full of gray here, because I don't paint it. This is the color that I have. I don't paint it. And where I have more wrinkles on my face, I'm being in more fire for the Lord. Not cold. Not an old man like this, just... is just waiting to die. No, no, not for me by the grace of God. And you yourself should imitate the same. Planted in the house of our Lord, serving God. I know some of you are thinking, oh, well, this one's going to be eternal. We're praying, we're believing for a new pastor. I'm about to finish. Oh, glory to God, please, already. No, I don't have time to go there. But I'm going to ask... multimedia. Two verses we're going to see it in the Amplified and the Amplified Classic. Just two. We're going to see two. 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. 4. Verse 3. In the Amplified. For the time will come when people will not tolerate sound doctrine and accurate instruction that challenges them with God's truth, but wanting to have their ears tickled with something pleasing, they will accumulate for themselves many teachers, one after another, chosen to satisfy their own desires and to support the errors they hold. Not that God chose them, they themselves choose each other, which is why chosen, one after another, to satisfy their own desires and to support the errors they hold. Amen. Amplified Classic. Very similar. But the time is coming. Well, we're there. When people will not tolerate, endure, sound, and wholesome instruction, but have ears itching for something pleasing and gratifying. Attention, I'm going to clarify something because some of you are very violent. I know that. I'm not talking about that every single time that you preach just, oh, go at it and all, and this and that. No, I'm not promoting that. About, oh, some will say, oh, well, I'm going to preach this and that's how it is. No, no, no. What I'm saying is that many times you will say things that will make people uncomfortable. It's not my purpose, of course. You think that when I say I want to make people uncomfortable, no, I want people to understand. Now to clarify. And they will gather to themselves one teacher after another to a considerable number. Amplified says many. This one says a considerable number. Chosen to satisfy their own liking and to foster the errors they hold. So, we're about to finish. Hold on. You have YouTube there. One said, in the 2U. Well, no, in YouTube. It was 2U and YouTube. One of the two. You have YouTube right there. There's a lot. You're going to choose people. And there are many who will tell you, hey, yeah, live however you want. However, grace will cover you. Those doctrines will kill you. The devil will use those doctrines. Now, I'm not saying that you should be with a sin conscience and being all condemned. I'm not promoting any one of the two. I'm promoting that you submit to God and do what God tells you. That many times you will have to submit your flesh. Amen. And you will have to crucify your flesh. Man, I had to crucify my flesh. I've had to sacrifice my flesh and things that the Lord told me, no, I don't want to do that. But my love towards Him wins me over. Eric, have you ever been to Ohio? Precious over there. That's the thing, I don't want to go because I don't want to stay. But you see, there were my pastors, I'll tell you. Man, I wanted to go over there. Okay, Eric, I had to submit my flesh. And he said, no. The Lord told me, I am interested. But why? And he said, that's something that doesn't matter to you. I'm interested that that church continues. That's where you're going to stay. If it is that you love me, that you've told me. Tested me. Because I was testing him. I said, no, well, yeah, you don't want us to do something. You don't want us to do something unwillingly. And I don't like the culture here and this and that. And the Lord told me, yeah, you don't like it either. I know. But what I'm trying to say is, at the end of the day, the Lord told me that this is where the sovereignty of God comes in. God doesn't care what you and I want. When it's based on the thing, on the sovereignty of God, the sovereignty doesn't mean I'm going to make you sick. No, the sovereignty is the direction of God. He reminded me, and not in vain, the church has gone through so much tribulation and persecution. I said, but why? Why? Well, it's something that you shouldn't matter. If you love me, you're going to do it. If not, then that means you don't love me. And then I said, ouch. That's where the Bible says that. He who God loves will test. And I would have preferred that God would have been incarnated in front of me. And He would have given me 3 slaps in the face, spit me, and given me 2 kicks. Amen. It would have hurt me less than what He told me. And when He told me, why do you care? You do what you're going to do. Because there I was already questioning about why. And thinking so righteous. 11th of March in this year. Right there in the house in front. Oh, well, you've slept here, right, Eric? Right there in that living room, He told me. I came in all macho, and then I went out like a crying puppy. Now, don't be hitting your kids. No, I don't like you after that. Thank you, Lord. Stand on your feet, hallelujah. Some of you, oh. But there it is. There it is. There's the truth, and I know that I said 3, but we'll see the other ones later. And I haven't even finished on this point. But this is what it's all about, the local church to disciple. God first of all, disciple, and then I'll give you another purpose. 3 purposes. They're all in the Bible. One time I went to a church. It was a good church to preach. The pastor loves God and he studies, and he makes an effort to learn a solid doctrine. And you know, he's learning, but he makes an effort. He said, I want to learn more, Brother Hughes. I was speaking to one of his leaders. Because again, I don't want to go and making fun of leaders, but no, speaking about the leaders, but you know, he was telling me, supposedly, no, well, so-and-so says this and so-and-so says this on the internet, like 8 or 10 preachers that he's seen. I said, hey, you know what? You should do what your pastor tells you. Learn first what your pastor is saying.
Hallelujah, those people. Somebody was praying for you. Give you thanks. Truth. Thank you for your help. Wanted it to do. in the grace I did it for you. Because if I love you the same way I love you unconditionally, I can love that people the same way and not fall into secular humanism. Thank you, Lord, for your truth. Worship you. We love you. We don't have words how grateful we are. Children, thank you for the gift of Jesus in our lives, who guides us. Thank you for Jesus, who is our owner. Thank you, because we can be before you with confidence and enter that throne of grace with faith, without fear, and say thank you. And if we've made a mistake in our lives, we take it before you and say, Lord, forgive me. I receive my forgiveness by faith for what Jesus paid. Thank you for helping me change. Thank you for anything I have to change, and all of us have to change something. But we hear from you daily, because this is a day the Lord has made, and I will rejoice in it. No, we're not going to preach a condemnation or religion, but we're also not going to preach a liberalism or disrespect our scriptures or your presence. You are patient and you are merciful. And we do it because you have understood. We have understood how much you love us. We respect you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Because you are the center of our lives. You are the pastor of shepherds. Thank you for your gratefulness. Thank you for helping us maintain ourselves till the end with your word. We don't have to desire anything from the world. You are sufficient. Your peace, love. That the material things we want, that we have, and we believe in, but we're not crazy about it. But we do believe prosperity as a tool. We know that you're a good father and wants us to have good things and to enjoy things. And glory to you. We know it's a tool. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. That we understand that finances are a tool, and that we use faith, that it multiplies and live better. But all of this will pass. But your word will not pass. Cars, homes, all of that shall pass. But not in our faith. And some of will be deceived to teach materialism, not by mentors in the faith. And we give because we love you, and we also believe that we receive a harvest and that we prosper for good. Because when we prosper, the kingdom is advanced. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
We hope you have enjoyed today's teaching brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries. For more information about our ministry, contact us at 480-458-8618 or visit our website, mpfccc.org.